Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 through 35. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now, as we get in this passage, remember we mentioned last time that there are passages that have several verses with one theme or one subject, and then there's individual thoughts, individual verses that deal with one subject, and sometimes there's contrasts and comparisons, and we see that both of those in this passage. If you'll notice, we have negatives that are given here, and I don't know if you are one of those, what they call them, a half-full kind of person, or there's this test that you give to people, and you show them a glass that's half full of water, and you say, what is this? And they say, is it half full or half empty? And if they say it's half empty, they're a negative person. If they say it's half full, they're a positive person. Well, I'm positively negative. I'm negatively positive. Maybe, does that sound better? I don't know, really. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. But there's some negatives here, and these things that we're not to do. We live in a society where everything's supposed to be on the positive side of things. Well, don't be negative all the time. Don't be positive. Let's be encouraging. But the truth is, for there to be good news, there has to be bad news, right? The bad news is the wages of sin is death. But what's the good news? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For there to be good news, there has to be bad news. And sometimes we know what to do by knowing what not to do. And when we can determine what not to do, it helps us to know what we should do. And that's what we're seeing here in this passage. Look at these. It says, withhold not in verse 27, verse 28, say not, verse 29, devise not, verse 30, strive not, verse 31, envy thou not. And also the last part of verse 31, choose none. So have several negatives right here in a row, but they're good things and good information and good directions from the Lord. It's the blessings or the direction or the message to wise people, how to express wisdom or what wisdom is all about here in this passage. Look at verse 27, the practicing of wisdom. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. And it goes on, it is connected with verses 27 or 28 and 29. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. And devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Remember, a neighbor is someone who's nearby, but in this passage, it's also someone who dwells next door, close by. So a neighbor can be anyone who is in need. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, how Jesus said which one was neighbor to this one who had fell among thieves. And it was the Samaritan that was the neighbor to him, even though he didn't know him, they didn't live next to each other. So we use the word neighbor. The Bible uses the word neighbor as one who is close by or one who is in need. But it does include those who live next door to us. And, if you live out in the country, it might be a ways before the neighbor is. It might be down the road a mile or so. So we see here in verse 27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. In Bible days, and I think he's speaking specifically here about wages and taking care of those that have worked. But let me share this verse with you in Galatians chapter 16. First of all, it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That's saying those that we have spiritual identification with and relationship and fellowship with, we're to especially do good to them. But it says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And of course, this is a characteristic of those who know the Lord. That's what Jesus did. He did good to all men in many ways by healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. He did that which was helpful to those who needed help. But the most important thing that he did is he died for our sins. He gave eternal life. He raised from the dead. And so he is one that has done good, and we're to do good. And he says in verse 27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13, it says, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. You see, in Bible days, when someone worked for you or you worked for someone, you're paid daily. Wages were given every day. And according to the law, it was to be done that way. You got paid every day for the work that you did that day. They didn't have all this direct deposit and every 2 weeks or monthly salary or stuff like that. They didn't have any of that going on. In Bible days, it was a daily wage. That's what you got paid. Then you did a day's work for your daily wage. And it says here in Leviticus, thou shalt not defraud. The word defraud means to cheat or deceive. See, that happened many times, and it still happens today, by the way, that folks are not paid properly for the work that they do. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. He's saying it's not yours anymore, because they have earned it and it belongs to them now, to the ones who worked for you. And so that goes along with this verse, talking in verse 28. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee. That goes into the thought and understanding is that if our neighbor has need, then we help him just like we would appreciate help from them. And there's times, I don't know your situations and the things that you went through in your life, but there's been many times I've been thankful for a good neighbor, one who lives nearby. I've had some neighbors that I wish that lived elsewhere for several reasons, not going to go into a lot of detail, but then I've had more good neighbors than I've had bad neighbors. And I really appreciate and remember the good neighbors that I've had over the years. And I've tried to be a good neighbor. We want to treat others the way we'd like to be treated. And sometimes you don't know where the needs are, do you? You don't know unless the Lord reveals it to you somehow, or you see what's going on and you say, can I help? Is there something I can do? Can some way to be a blessing? One of the things that was usually customary, traditional down south, was the taking of food to people who had a death in the family. And that was not only a church thing or a family thing, it was a neighborhood thing. The neighbors did as well, or do as well. I don't know if they still do it as much as they used to, but it used to be very, it was a customary, traditional thing, but it was very helpful and it was a blessing. And you learn who your friends are, who your neighbors are in tough times, don't you? And the same way as far as we're concerned, personally and individually, we want to be a good neighbor to our neighbors. And how can we expect our neighbors to be good neighbors if we're not to them? And that's why he says, say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee. And then it says in verse 29, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Now, he's saying, use some wisdom here. What if you've got a bad neighbor? What if you've got a neighbor that let's see what we can come up with, that comes in late at night with their loud car and their music. They've got this stereo that costs more than their car did in their car, and it's rattling your windows. Anybody ever experienced some of that? I have. And you start thinking, what can I do to that car to quieten it down a bit? To that stereo? Oh, no, you would never do that, would you? Never think that would never enter into your mind how we could stop this noise somehow. We're not, but it says be careful because they live next door to you. They know where you live too. You see, don't do something foolish. You see, there's two things or two thoughts that you want to keep in mind. Pastor shared one of them this past week. You don't use a hand grenade where a mouse trap will work. Right? Don't do that. And don't burn bridges, if at all possible. You know what I mean by burning bridges? Don't burn the bridge where you can't go back. Leave the door open. Might be somebody you've witnessed to or invited to church. That should be our goal. That should be our desire, is to see them in church and their life straightened out and see them saved and living for the Lord. And so we leave the door open for that. And you might win, we can win arguments and lose friends because we burn bridges. We say things that will not be forgotten. We need to be careful about that. And so he says, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Micah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields and take them by violence and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Did you know that there's neighbors, I'm talking about people in neighborhoods and communities that have been feuding for years because of something very insignificant? And they lay awake at night thinking how they can do something harmful to their neighbor. You ever heard of the Hatfields and the McCoys? Yeah? Well, that was just the one that got some press. There are others, many others, and all over the... It's not just in the South either. It's all over the world where neighbors have fought against neighbors and just it become consumed with it. And that's what Micah chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2 is talking about. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds when the morning is light. They practice it because it is in the power of their hand. Now, they can do it. They think they can get away with it. They covet fields. They take them by violence and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. You see, well, you say, well, Brother Qualls, Brother Lonnie, I would never do that. I would not stay awake thinking how I could get even with someone. Well, the truth is we're human, and when someone harms us, the natural response is to try to get even. But you know, that's not what the philosophy or the character of the Lord Jesus was. The world says get even, but the Lord Jesus didn't do that, did he? He said to forgive. And there's a lot of things, philosophies that the world has, and that's what he's trying to speak to his son here, Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's wise for all of us to remember this and to keep this in mind. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Verse 30 goes along with that as well. Strive not with a man without cause if he hath done thee no harm. Did you know that there are some folks that are confrontational? Have you ever met a confrontational person? Have you ever heard about what they call nowadays road rage? Did you know road rage has been going on ever since men have been driving? Did you know women are involved in road rage as well as men? Just think about it. And so this little thing of getting cut off or somebody pulling out in front of you or not letting you out, people have been killed because of it. Because mankind can be overwhelmed with anger. And sometimes it's, if you've got your family with you, I'm a man. And when I've got my family with me, my wife in my car, I take it personal when someone drives dangerously around me. It bothers me. Now, I haven't killed anybody yet, have I, Diane? And, no. Not yet. I'm practicing this verse. I'm aware of the dangers of letting our temper, that which is part of many of us, some of us have more than others. Some of us have more juice than others. But it's something that we must be under control. It's called temperament. The Bible uses the word temperament, and that we're to be temperate in all things, right? That includes driving. That includes the life around us. Strive not. This word strive means fight, being confrontational, get into a position where you're about to come to blows. Proverbs chapter 25, verses 8 and 9, listen to this. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. Amen. When thy neighbor hath put thee to shame, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. Wow. What about getting into an argument with someone in church? You know that happens? Do you know there's church squabbles and church misunderstandings and there's arguments? And you know church ought to be heaven on earth.
Amen.
It most certainly should. Confrontational. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Here's the answer. He says, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself. That's you and him. Not with a group. First of all, the biblical example is it's you, the one who has been offended, to speak to the one who has committed the offense and to try to get it settled. And then if it's not settled, then you bring two or three and try to get it settled at that point. Matthew chapter 18. Now he says here, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. Do you know what that means? That means you don't go talking to other folks about it.
Amen.
Well, did you hear what such and such said about me or did to me? No, we don't do that, because if we are on the right side of this thing and we have not been the one who has committed the offense, then the Lord will fight for our cause. He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Did you know I found in any argument, or especially a church issue where two people or two groups of people have gotten crossways with each other, the one who is quiet and trusts and waits on the Lord to resolve it is the one that's in the right. But the one that is going around spreading it like wildfire among the congregation and trying to get folks on their side,
Amen.
They're the ones in the wrong. It's always been the case. And so, get it resolved personally and individually with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. Proverbs 29, verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. He's saying it's not of the Lord. It's not pleasing to the Lord to stir up strife. Romans chapter 12, verses 18 through 21, it says, if it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, let me be quick to share this. This is not the philosophy of the world. This is God's way of doing things. And the world doesn't understand God's way of doing things. It's a supernatural way. It's another worldly way. It's of the Lord. It's more like we're citizens of heaven. This is how we resolve issues. Now, he says, and by the way, to properly deal with confrontational issues, it takes the grace of God. It takes the Spirit of God. It takes the Lord intervening and helping, but we have to allow Him to do that. We can make fools out of ourselves very quickly, because that's what it's talking about back here in Proverbs 25, where he says, go forth not hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. Have you ever said anything in a moment of anger that you wish you could just reach out and grab it and throw it back in? Did you know you can't unscramble eggs? Can't do it. You can't do it. The type of anger, and I've studied this a little bit, I believe that there is a type of righteous indignation that it's proper and right, where we can be angry and sin not. It's anger against sin and wickedness and that which is harmful. If we want to say, I'm going to be anger, I've got an inward bothered, I don't know what you call it, righteous indignation against the liquor industry, against drugs, about child abuse, abortion. Those things will always bother the child of God. People, those sins that's going on in the world, it bothers us. And sometimes when we're bothered about something, when we're passionate about something, it appears to be anger. Did you know Baptists are accused of being angry people? Yeah. We're not really angry, we're passionate. It means that we are passionate about that which is wrong and passionate about that which is right. And sometimes it's misunderstood for anger. But the type of anger that is wrong is when we blow up and say things that we shouldn't, and 5 minutes later we're feeling guilty and embarrassed and have to go say we're sorry. I have to do that with my wife. Haven't done it in the last 20 years, but one of these days, hopefully y'all know that I'm joking a lot of what I do use, try to use a lot of humor and all that, especially when I'm speaking about my wife. We don't argue or fight or any of that. The last time we got into a fight, I didn't see her for 3 days. Then my left eye began to open up just a little bit. I'm just kidding. Now, last time we got into an argument, she came crawling to me on her hands and knees and said, "Get out from under that bed, you rascal, you." Let's move on. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That takes the love of God, the power of God. It takes the Lord to do that. This is not of our flesh. This is of the Spirit. Now, let's look at some interesting verses here. Let's move on. It says in verse 31, envy not thou the oppressor and choose none of his ways. This is just a one verse statement, but I want us to expand on it just a little bit. Envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. Why would he have to tell his son not to envy the oppressor? The oppressor is a bad person, but they may be doing bad and gaining riches and wealth from doing that which is wrong and wicked and sinful. But the prosperity of the wicked sometimes has been an issue with those who know the Lord, or those who would want or need more, or that kind of thing. If you would, flip over in your Bibles to Psalm 73, the 73rd Psalm. And let's begin reading with verse 3. I want you to read these verses. I know the pastor's read these before. They're good verses. They're so helpful. Psalm 73 and verse 3. We'll start reading there. It says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. There's the oppressors again. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and water of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Because these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, they increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Look at verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. The psalmist says, you know, it looks like everybody in the world doing wickedly and prospering for it. They're getting away with everything. But he says, then I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. The Lord revealed to him that there's more than just this life to be considered. Amen. There's eternity to be considered. And nobody's going to get away with anything that we think that they might. I've often thought about, what about those who commit murder and do so much? Why, they could only, even with capital punishment, die once. But the Lord knows. And if they don't get saved and their sins forgiven, the Lord will reward them properly and punish them properly. I don't have to worry about that. Don't worry about others getting away with anything. The Lord knows what he's doing. In the same way that he keeps accurate records for us, and our good works and those things that are done in his name, he keeps accurate records for us. He keeps accurate records for others too. And so, even though someone may seem to be getting away with things in this life, we need to remember the end of their life. And so, don't envy the wicked. Don't envy those that are the oppressors, he says in verse 31, envy not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. Then verses 32 and 33, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, and his secret is with the righteous. The froward, this one that is perverse and perverted. It says in verse 33, it says, Psalm 37:22, it says, for such as be blessed of the Lord shall inherit the earth, and they shall be cursed, and they that be cursed, him shall be cut off. Verse 33 of our text, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Now these go together here, because you see, I want you to notice that in verse 31, we have names of those that are not following the Lord. We have the oppressor, the froward, the one that is the wicked in verse 33, going on down, the scorner. And then in verse 35, the word fools. These are talking about the same kind of person. A froward person is one who is perverted and one that is crooked away from the way of the Lord and ignores the truth, hates the truth in reality, is a truth hater. But see, in this passage, we see in verse 32, for the froward is abomination to the Lord. First time in the book of Proverbs we came across this word abomination. I looked at just about every verse in the Bible that uses the word abomination. There were abominations that were some things that the nation of Israel were told that was an abomination, that they were to avoid or not do. The word abomination simply means disgusting sin. It's a disgusting thing to the Lord. And that which was an abomination in the Old Testament is abomination in the New Testament. Unless we're dealing with the nation of Israel. Now, there were things that dealt specifically with the nation of Israel that made them, let's say, peculiar or identified them as God's chosen people. They were rules and things, and there were types of ceremonial things that they did and could do and could not do that are not to be practiced or not part of us as the saved today. But in Old Testament times, of course, they were abominations. But the other abominations that are mentioned, just as this one, are still abominations today. It means it's a disgusting sin. And so God, it means it's a sin that makes the Lord sick. In verse 32, it says, "For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous." This word secret, we saw the word secret in another passage here in just a moment ago. It's that which, and it says in verse, it's Proverbs 25, verse 9, it says, "And discover not a secret to another." And there is some things that the Lord makes us aware of. He shares his secrets with us. Now, it's not necessarily that it's a secret, but it's only known by those who are his. Did you know that there's some things that we are aware of as children of God that the world cannot know because they are spiritually discerned?
Amen.
The Bible tells us that. There's some things about the Lord that we can know and have peace with and have assurance about that the world cannot have. It makes no sense to the world. As a matter of fact, it's foolishness as far as the world is concerned. But it's with the child of God, with the righteous, it's a fellowship. It's a communion with the Lord. It's possible for us to have fellowship with the Lord that the world cannot have. And we can have a communion with the Lord, our spirit and his spirit, that the world cannot have. And that's what this is talking about here. But his secret is with the righteous. The same thing in verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but the blessing he blesseth the habitation of the just. If you've lived for the Lord, been in the family of God for any time at all, you have recognized how the difference between your home, your household, your life before you were saved and after you were saved. And you recognize that the Lord's blessing now is upon your house. I can see it. It's there. It's true. It's real. It's significant. Now, to try to explain it to somebody that's lost, extremely difficult. To tell them how it was before you knew the Lord and how it is now, it's difficult. It's like trying to explain the peace of God. It's practically impossible. It's one of those things you just have to experience, know by experience. And so that's what he's saying here. His secret is with the righteous. His blessing is upon the habitation of the just. Verse 34, surely he scorneth the scorner, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. This verse is quoted twice in the New Testament. I'm going to read one of them to you, James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace, whereof he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. It literally means he keeps the proud at arm's length away, but opens his arms to the humble. So we see that this word here in verse 34, the lowly, speaking about the humble. Again, let's look at the words I gave the sinner's names. Look at verse 35. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Wise in verse 35. Verse 34, lowly. Verse 34. Verse 33, the just is in verse 33. Going back to verse 32, the righteous, you see. And so these words are talking about those that are wise, those that have the wisdom of God. And then, of course, last verse goes with verse 34 as well. The wise shall inherit glory. This word glory means honor, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. A contrast here, the promotion of fools. The result of foolishness is going to be foolishness. We reap what we sow. But if we sow righteousness, if we sow that which is wise and do that which is right, then we're going to inherit the honor and glory of the Lord. Even in this world, those that do foolish things are noticed. Those, you know, it's kind of like this. Wisdom and humility go together, don't they? You see that in the book of Proverbs. Foolishness and pride go together. Foolishness and pride are very visual, very open, very easily recognized. But wisdom and humility are not. You don't necessarily go around and say, that's a humble person, that's a wise person. We don't really exalt people personally. The Lord does, but we don't. But you know what? When somebody does something foolish or is full of pride, it screams. It shouts. And it draws attention. It most certainly does. Do we want that kind of attention, or do we want the attention of the Lord? You see the difference there. Let's have a word of prayer.